Today's scripture reading is Isaiah 56, verse 1 to 8. This is what the Lord says: maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, the man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, "The Lord will surely exclude me from his people." And let not any eunuch complain, "I'm only a dry tree." For this is what the Lord says: to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. And I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, the sovereign Lord declares. He who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered.
Father, thank you. Thank you that we can take time in our worship service to talk to you. And we can talk to you about anything. Lord, we brought so many different topics and requests and prayers to you this morning. And Lord, we do it in confidence, knowing that you hear, knowing that you are a God who acts. And Lord, this is all part of a worship service where we've also praised your name through song and we've heard scripture and Lord, we've heard your greeting. And Lord, now we're digging into your word, and we pray that this time of worship may shape us more and more into the people you're calling us to be. And I pray that the words which shall be spoken now, Lord, may they be your words and not mine. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Prayer is a beautiful gift. It's an invitation to come to God and to just talk to him. There's no need to wait for God to show up. There's no need for him to come close to us, because through the Holy Spirit, he's right here. He's right with us every time. He's ready to talk with us, to hear what's on our hearts and what's on our souls, our minds, what's going on in our lives. And he's willing to talk to us. He talks to us through the scriptures. He talks to us through wise people, through teachers and parents and godly friends. And we hear echoes of his voice, as scripture says, you know, the heavens declare his glory. And through creation, we get a sense of who he is as well. And we can bring our joys and celebrations. We can bring our fears and our worries, our doubts and our pain to him. And I love reading through the Gospels and seeing how Jesus made prayer a big priority of his life. When things got tough or stressful or he got tired, first thing he did was he headed to quiet places and just spent time talking to God. And his disciples noticed that there was something about talking with God, his Father, that gave him strength, gave him courage, gave him wisdom, helped him get through times where he's tempted or maybe he's not quite sure where the Father's leading him, and he would get that guidance. They saw he got something from it. And they wanted that too. And the disciples even says, can you teach us how to pray? And it's not like the disciples didn't know how to pray. They had a whole book in the Old Testament and their scriptures that was filled with prayers, 150 of them that addressed every part of life and struggle and joy and celebration called the Psalms. A book given to us as well, that when we don't know words to say or how to bring something to God, we can turn to the Psalms and give us words to start off with how we want to talk or what we need to talk to God about. So our passage this morning is a reminder that God calls all his people to make prayer a foundational part of their life and worship. Israel's back home again after 70 years of captivity. We're reminded why they've been put into captivity when God commands them, maintain justice and do what's right. For my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it and keeps their hands from doing any evil. God's reminding us here that our faith really consists of two parts. There's the orthodoxy, which is the believing of the right things, the correct things. We have scripture to teach us who God is and how God wants us to live. But then there's also the orthopraxy, which is that right way of living. Israel went into exile because they had learned everything about God. They spent all that time at Mount Sinai. Moses had written so many things down. Others had written, you know, histories and prophets had called them back to God time and time again. And they would go to the temple and they would do the ritual things, but it was the practical day-to-day relationship stuff that they didn't do. The stuff from that second half of the Ten Commandments, that honoring and maintaining justice and taking care of the poor and the widow, the orphan, instead they too often took advantage and oppressed those people instead. There is a focus on just doing enough rather than being the people of God. And so God sent them into exile. Because what their actions did was they revealed that they believed in God who only cares about rituals and not who they were as his people. So God says part of right living is keeping the Sabbath. One day a week, focus on coming to God, worshiping him, praying to remind ourselves that we're not God, but we are creatures in God's image. And we're given great, great responsibility to image him in this world and to this world. Christine Kane, founder of the A21 campaign that focuses on combating human trafficking around the world, writes, "Prayer is a declaration of dependence. It's our way of saying, God, I want you. I need you." When we bring something to God in prayer, we are saying, God, I want your rule. I want your reign. I want your direction. I want your will. I want your help in this. I want you in this. And as the Lord keeps speaking to his people through Isaiah, we get a bigger picture of what Abraham's call to be a blessing to the nations looks like. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. Earlier in chapter 54, the Lord says, sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. God is inviting people into his temple to worship him, to talk to him, to pray to him. That just kind of blew Israel's mind away. The barren woman, the foreigner, the eunuch are all people on the fringes of society. They're considered disgraced. The foreigner and eunuch were banned from the temple except for the very outer courts where all the business stuff happened. They couldn't go very far in. They were kept on the fringes even of the temple. And then the barren woman and the eunuch were especially considered disgraced because they couldn't have children. And the Lord tells Israel that he sees them. He invites them into his house, his temple. He invites them to come close, to talk to him, to come near to him. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me, hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. The burnt offerings and sacrifice will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. What a shock to the Jews. You would think it would be part of their culture, part of their DNA, that God wants all these foreigners and everybody else to come and be part of God's people. But they had learned to think that they're God's special people. But it's changing. Now he's inviting all these foreigners and disgraced people into the temple to experience his presence too. God's moving from having Israel as his specially chosen people to inviting anyone who chooses to follow him to become his people. God's breaking down all kinds of barriers to the temple and his presence that had been in place for generations, shocking many Jewish believers. See, Israel saw the world as divided between them and us. And yet when you read the story of Scripture, it's a story of reconciliation. It's a story of God working to reconcile the world to himself. This is why Jesus came. This is why Jesus goes to the cross, to reconcile us to God. He chooses Abraham to be a blessing to all the nations so that the nations will come to know God as their God too. Twice the Lord refers to the temple as a house, his house of prayer. Second time as a house of prayer for all nations. God is God to all people, even if they don't recognize him or accept him. God is God over all. And he's gathering people from all nations for himself. Jesus, the good shepherd, he told his disciples as well that he has sheep and other folds that he needs to gather so that there only be one flock instead of many. See, these themes echo all through Scripture. These are not just kind of isolated, but that theme of, you know, in the beginning, everything is good and very good, but then there's a separation as Adam and Eve choose to sin rather than obey, and then there's a separation between God and humanity, and God works through all of Scripture, all of history, to draw his people back again. And his desire is that all people are saved. Remember that God created humanity in his image to remind us that our identity is in God and Jesus, and it is way greater than any national or ethnic identity we may choose. When you look around and you see everybody here, when you look at the church around the world, We don't see skin color. We don't see different languages. We don't see different customs. What we see are brothers and sisters with God as our Father, Jesus as our older brother, the Holy Spirit who draws us close together. And when we keep the Sabbath, accepting God as our God, shaping our lives around worship, trusting in God, praying to Him, He gives us an eternal name that's better than having sons and daughters. And in a culture where your family was central to your identity, becoming part of God's eternal family is huge because it means your name won't be forgotten. Jesus offers this in Revelation. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. And he goes on, and the one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Jesus is saying all these people from all these different nations, God's calling them to be family, be part of His family, to be brothers and sisters to the Jews and to us. And He's going to give us a name. It's never going to get forgotten. It's going to be eternal. He's going to give us our name, a name that's going to be forever. It's going to identify us as being children of God. That's why Jesus gets so angry in the temple when he sees how the Gentiles are being treated, because they're family who've come to talk to their Father too. Luke writes, when Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. It's written, he said to them, my house will be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. Imagine what's going on in that temple part. Imagine that our lobby is filled with all kinds of money changers, and there's animals there, and there's sheep and goats and doves, and people are bartering, and people are getting interpreters to kind of stalk, and it's chaos back there. And that's the only place that the foreigners, the eunuchs, could worship God in. How do you talk to God when it's chaos, when it's craziness? Jesus says, they came here to worship our Father, and you're making it impossible. See, the invitation to prayer is for everyone. God listens to us all, inviting us to come closer to Him, to come into His house and talk to Him. Prayer keeps us connected to God. Prayer moves God's plans forward. Prayer is a huge part of our faith walk with God, but it's not always easy. Praying can look so different from one day to the next. One day you can be talking quietly with God and sharing all that's going on and thanking Him. The next day you can be on your knees and tears can be streaming down your face. As you're saying, it's really hard. I can't do it on my own. And then the next day you can be so angry because there's so much wrong, so much evil, so much brokenness. And you're saying, why aren't you doing anything? This is why we have the Psalms, because the Psalms have all that and more in it to help us to talk to God, to remind us that no matter what's going on, we can come to Him. It can be tempting to simply stop praying. Christine Kane writes, sometimes when we feel He hasn't come through for us or answered our prayers the way we hoped, it's easy to quit talking to God. Just like we naturally want to withdraw and quit talking to people who disappoint us, who don't come through for us. It's as though the same reasons we run to God in prayer can be the same reasons we drift away. She says, I don't know why things we pray for so hard about don't always work out. And it's easy to stop praying when life gets disappointing. I've learned to ask myself at those times, is there a reason why I've stopped believing that prayer can change things? Is there a reason why I'm no longer running to God with the same faith I once had? When you don't feel like praying anymore, I encourage you, keep praying. Keep coming to church on Sunday so that we can pray for you. We can be with you. You can be surrounded by others who are praying in God's house of prayer. And even if you don't share, just being in the presence of God's people, brothers and sisters, who, when you get the courage to share with them, are willing to walk alongside you. Some of them may be nervous and afraid and may withdraw a bit, but there will be plenty who will come alongside you, who will pray with you, who will pray for you, who will help talk to God for you on your behalf, just like the Holy Spirit does when we can't do it anymore. God wants to hear you. He wants to help you in our times of worship to hear him. Prayer reminds us that God loves us. But it also reminds us that we love God. We're reminded that God is faithful to us. Prayer connects us to God, but it also connects us to each other as brothers and sisters to our Father. Prayer brings unity. Prayer brings hope. And prayer can lead us back to a place of trust and faith in Jesus once again. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for keep calling us to talk to you. You are never far from us. You promise to always be with us. Lord, help us to hang on deeply to that truth. To know that we can talk to you even just in our minds and our hearts. We don't always have to use words. And that you know them. And that you will give us what we need. Because you've placed us in a family of brothers and sisters who talk to you too and who want to talk with us to you. Sometimes even talk to you for us. So thank you. Thank you for this gift, for this invitation. We pray to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and your beloved Son. Amen.